The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to 2 Thessalonians. Every now and then, we share some, well, I guess you could refer to them as standalone messages. They're not a part of a series or anything. And what I typically do, I have a little notebook I keep, and sometimes, be it something I'm reading or a devotional or something, and a scripture or passage will grab my attention, and I'll write a note on it and say something like, this would make a good sermon, or something like that, this is one of those that I found that I had written in some time ago, and so here we are, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I came across a story a while back about the world's oldest billionaire. At the time, he was the world's oldest billionaire. His name is Chang Yung Chung. And he recently celebrated, or when I came across the story, he had recently celebrated his 100th birthday. He has the resources to live the life he chooses, and so you want to guess what he chooses to do with his life? He chooses to go to work. Yeah. He is the founder of Pacific International Lines, a shipping company. Until last year, he was the executive chairman of the company. He has now modified his title, he's modified his role, but he's still involved in daily operations and key decisions, checking in with every department head every day that they are working. He says that work is not really optional activity for him. He said, I cannot stay at home. It would become very, very boring. 100 years old, mind you. Most people can't understand that kind of thinking. Most of you probably thinking, if I had $1 billion... I think I could come up with something different to do than go to work. Right? In fact, many people are ready and willing to embrace the slightest excuse for not having to go to work. Right? What I've discovered over time in my years on this planet is that this attitude is not so much indicative of laziness as much as it is indicative of a lack of a clear-cut, well-defined sense of purpose. When you have a purpose, you will pursue it every day of your life. Whether it pays a little or whether it pays a lot or whether it just doesn't pay at all, it will become the thing that causes you to wake up in the morning excited about the new day. And so today we're going to talk about living your life with one primary purpose, one objective that supersedes all else. And I really do wish I could tell you it in a 30-second sound bite, but it doesn't exactly work that way, right, for your purpose and how you need to put it into practice. Your life purpose is something that you discover through the process of your journey and your walk of faith with the Lord. It's not a one-size-fits-all either. It's custom-made for you, and it ties into your career, into your family life, your church life, and every other area of your life. It all comes together in this. And so today, we're going to look at some guidelines from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and that I think will help you discover and refine, in some cases, your life's purpose. It's incredibly important. The church in Thessalonica was a church that Paul said set the example. It was setting the bar for the New Testament church in its day, for churches everywhere in Asia Minor and in, over in Corinth and in Greece. And he said, in effect, you're doing it right. In spite of the hardships, in spite of the obstacles, in spite of the persecutions that have been coming your way, you are getting it right. You're doing it right. Look at what he says in verse 4. He says, therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials that you are enduring. In other words, Apostle Paul and his ministry team are talking it up about the Christians in Thessalonica. Don't you like that? And then toward the end of the chapter, look at what Paul writes in verses 11 and 12. He says, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of the calling, of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed that is prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We find our first guideline in the first part of that 11th verse. You have a calling from God to live up to. We think of that. I want to say that again. You have a calling from God for you to live up to. Okay? It's incredibly important. It's not just preachers who get the call, not just missionaries who get the call. Everybody who's a follower of Christ living on the planet gets the call. Look at, again, that first part of verse 11. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling. God has called you to a specific direction, towards a specific purpose, every single one of us. Your current job is part of that calling. It may not be his long-term plan for your life, and some of you just went, glad to hear that. Maybe he's just preparing you right now for something different later on in your life. But the job you have today is no doubt, as far as I am concerned, a part of what God is doing and a part of your calling. And so it's important that we understand that so we're not just kind of coasting and hanging in there and not doing it as unto the Lord with perfection and excellence, waiting for that whatever to come along. You're doing it now as unto the Lord. Amen? All right. Your current job is part of that calling. Again, may not be the long term, but it's what God's doing. We have a calling, every single one of us. And Paul is challenging us to live up to it, to be worthy of it. In today's text, he said that God may make you worthy of his calling. Paul is talking about, as I've said, living up to it. Just like he said in the book of Ephesians, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Is he just talking to the people in Ephesus? Is he talking to us as well? Yeah, that's Ephesians 4:1. I believe that God's calling for our lives is always, I believe this to be true, is always just a little bit bigger, just a little better, and a little bit tougher than the ones that you and I typically might choose for ourselves. That's why Paul doesn't say, just coast through life the way you are. Instead, he's saying, walk worthy. Hold yourself to a higher standard. When any temptation comes along, the temptation to coast, the temptation to compromise, the temptation to yield to sinful desire. When any temptation comes along, we need to learn to say, with God's help, because it's dependent upon his power, as we're going to talk about all more here in a little bit, with God's help, I can do better than this. I can choose to do better than that. God has called me to something greater than a life of laziness, greater than a life of mediocrity, greater than a life of disobedience. God has placed His calling on your life, and His calling begins wherever you are right now. The job you have today may not be your forever job, as I've said, but He wants you to pursue your work with excellence. Can I ask you a question? Do you expect your pastor to pursue what he does with excellence? Do you let yourself off on the hook on that one? Word of God says we all are to pursue what He's put us in and do it with excellence. The very thing that you expect of your employer or the fellow employees, the very things that you expect in that situation, in that kind of deal, isn't it interesting how we put that kind of expectation on others and not so much on ourselves? The Word of God is challenging us in that very area right now. You may not be doing all that you want to be doing with your life, but He wants you to do what you're doing today with a spirit of excellence. Amen? It's so important that we do that. Whatever you do, Paul wrote to the Colossians, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not men. We need to understand this applies to everyone, no matter where we are in our lives. Young and just starting out in the workforce, older, having retired from some career, this never goes away. And whatever God has us doing, and however He has us serving Him and serving others, that never ends. You have a calling, Scripture says, to live up to. Amen? And it starts right where you are. A second part of the process of living out your purpose is to recognize that you have a calling from God that really ought to and should capture your heart. Okay? This here that I do has captured my heart. You're probably glad. Well, I would hope so. But it has. It does, and it has. And it's the very thing that just keeps me excited and keeps me coming and doing what I do. It's what I've been built for, so to speak. And I know that. And I love what I get to do. And sure, there are times when it can be tough and discouraging and all those kinds of things, just like your walk with the Lord can be as well. But God is good, and He is faithful, and He's been so faithful to bless Marilyn and I's life with this Wellspring of Life Church and you folks, because you're the church, and we're thankful, and we just love doing what we do, and there's passion there, and there's excitement about it, and so it's kind of like someone was reminding me. I guess I made this statement. I didn't make it like here in this context, but I must have made it in a conversation. These people have remembered what I said. When I turned 60, I said, well, Marilyn and I have got 10 good years. And they've reminded me of that. And I'm thinking, no, I didn't mean that. I kind of meant, well, maybe there was a little bit of energy still. But it's the Spirit of God that energizes, amen? And so I always get inspired and encouraged by men like, and I've said this before, guys who are like in their 80s, still serving God every day, still preaching in the pulpit and writing books, Swindoll and some of these others who are just doing it. And so if you've been thinking, when are we getting rid of Dave, you're... Not until God says so, but in the meantime, it's the very thing that does cause us to to rise and to do what we do with joy and with enthusiasm. And guys, it should be no different for you. Be you young in the workforce or retired, it needs to be no different for you, so that when you're getting up in the morning, it's like, God, what do you got for me today? What are we doing today, God? Whose lives are we going to impact? How are we going to do something for you in your kingdom? Thinking like that. Serving him with excellence in that way, with vision and with faith, something that has captured your heart. So as you sit here this evening, can I ask you a question you don't need to answer, but I want you to answer to yourself. What's captured your heart tonight in terms of God, in terms of his kingdom? What you've been captured by? Or has it even happened? I challenge you with that. No coasting allowed. How's that? I'm going to put a sign out there. No coasting allowed. We are serving God with passion and with vision and with faith. This is what's captured my heart, and this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm looking for, so that God can use me in his power to do. In his name. Expanding his kingdom. Are you just living, just existing? Is there joy? Is there peace? Is there happiness? Contentment when you get up and rise and serving God. Do you know your purpose? What's captured your heart? The second part of the verse 11 is where we find this, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness, your every deed prompted by faith. Whether you're a construction worker, stay-at-home mom, whatever the case, nothing gets excused here. What's captured your heart? The New Living Translation says, may he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. What is your faith prompting you to do these days? Here's a major part of determining your life purpose. As you look at the world around you, which opportunity, which unmet need, which possibility most captures your attention, ignites faith and vision within you? What does that? It is likely that this is a central part of the calling that God has placed you in because of where you are right now and where he's placed you. I read about an accountant, and just the name, the word accountant as a job, I don't know if we have any accountants in the room tonight. Does not sound very exciting to me. And part of whatever I'm coming from on that one, my dad was an accountant. You know, back in the days before computers, and he would bring home these great big ledgers, do it with pencil. And that looked like the worst job in the world to me. I read about the accountant who loves numbers. He loves what he does. He has a passion for numbers. He's an accountant, and so where he really finds his joy is in helping people with their biggest, most dreaded problem that comes around every April 15th. He finds great joy in helping them find solution and answers to those tax things. He says, I love what I do. An accountant. And I'm thinking, good for you. Just last week, we have a new family that's been coming to Church in Parachute. Awesome family. They're just brand new in the Lord. I think he had an accident that kind of brought, a God awakening, God conscious thing to him, and so he came first, and then the next week, the whole gang came, and it's been awesome. They've only been there a couple, 2-3 months. Last week he came up to me, and he said, Pastor, I just want you to know that if there's anything that I can do to help around here, just let me. Here's the trade that I'm in. Just let me know if I can help. Even, he says, I've even driven down by your building down here thinking, speaking of this one, and says, and just let me know. I don't know that he realized it at the time, but that was faith prompting him with a passion in his heart and a desire that is newly fresh, probably kind of brand new, and he doesn't even fully understand it, a desire to serve and bless others. And I just want to encourage you in that. Some of you have been walking with the Lord for a long time, and maybe you've lost a little sight of that. This brand new believer is right there, and he's turned on and on fire for God. I want to see you old guys in the Lord, not in numbers, in the Lord. Turned on and fired up about serving God. God, when Moses was being called, right, and God says, "What's in your hand, Moses?" Well, he had a rod in his hand, didn't he? He had a stick. God says, "Well, that's what we're going to use, Moses. Just what's in your hand? What's God saying to you? What's in your hand? What's he put in your life?" I could go on and on telling you about people such as school teachers and healthcare professionals and construction workers. I've already mentioned stay-at-home moms who have pursued their life's work through volunteer ministry, whatever, because it captured the attention of their hearts. What has captured you? Theologian Frederick Buechner said, "The place God calls you to is the place. The place that God calls you is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. This may determine what you do for a career, or it may determine what you do after work. But it will certainly determine how you spend your time and where you spend your money, and where your priorities will ultimately lie." Amen? A key question to determine your life purpose is to ask, and keep asking, I would say, what good thing is my faith prompting me to do? In today's text, Paul uses a phrase that we dare not overlook here. And it points to yet another element of living out your life's purpose. What's the phrase? We've already seen it in verse 11. That by his power, he may bring to fruition. In other words, God's calling and purpose can be fulfilled only through God's power. Right? Which is why Paul writes in verse 12, "We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in" who? "You. And you in him, according to the grace of our Lord, of our God, and the Lord Jesus Christ." God's calling and purpose can only be fulfilled through his power. Mentioning Moses, I want to mention him again. God called Moses to lead his people out of Egypt, didn't he? And you guys know the story out of Exodus. Moses isn't too excited about the call. He's not too excited about the purpose and direction God's wanting him to go. He's got excuses. And not only that, but he's got this past, right? He had murdered somebody. Then God said, basically, in effect, and you guys, I want you to hear these words for you tonight, every single one of us, okay? In effect, God said, "You can and you will." "Because, though," here it is, "because my power will work through you." You can and you will. I love it. In the rest of the story, we see how God came through for Moses in a mighty way. Amen? Moses was a great leader, but he could not have done a single bit of that without God's power at work in and through him. This means as we consider our calling and purpose, We don't sit around asking ourselves things, something like, well, what do I think I'm smart enough to do? What do I think I'm talented enough to do? What am I comfortable enough to do? We don't ask those questions. Instead, we ought to be asking ourselves, what is God big enough to do through me? In His, you can and you will. Calling and purpose for our lives. Whatever it is God's put in your heart to pursue, be it great or small, you need to hold tight to one fundamental truth. You can only succeed in fulfilling your calling, as we've been saying, by the power of God. This is why Paul wrote in Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church." If you live and move and work within God's power, you'll find, as Moses found, that the seas will part. Perhaps God is speaking to your heart today to aspire a little higher, to reach a little further. Maybe He wants you to risk a little more. God's purpose for your life, and He certainly has one for every single one of you, can be fulfilled only through His power. And that means He wants us to surrender to Him every single day of our lives, saying, "God, give me the strength to do all that you want me to do today." And then do it again the next day, and then the next day, and the next day. At the beginning of this message, I talked about the world's oldest billionaire and what he does with his time. This would have certainly been the testimony of a guy whose name you might be familiar with. His name is John Kitna. He attended Central Washington University on a football scholarship. It's a school, a small school. Their players don't typically make it into professional sports. But against all the odds, he was drafted by the Seahawks. He ended up playing 16 seasons for Seattle, Cincinnati, Detroit, and ended up with Dallas. And throughout his career, he put up some pretty decent numbers and earned quite a bit of money, $3 million in his very last and final season with the Cowboys. When he retired at the age of 40, he could have done anything, or he could have done nothing for the rest of his life. So what did John Kitna decide to do? He took a job teaching math and coaching football in a tough, impoverished school on the east side of Tacoma, Washington. Why would he make such a choice? There are several reasons, the most significant one being, while attending college, he met the Lord Jesus Christ and surrendered his life to him as a college student, as a college football player. He became a follower of Jesus Christ. The result is that today he and his wife live with a sense of purpose. Some of you have watched some of the same programs that I've watched over the years. Some of these professional athletes live in glass houses, don't they? And when the cheers are gone and they're not playing in stadiums to thousands of people, their names are no longer being printed up in the newspapers, whatever, they have a tough time dealing with that. They have a tough time dealing with it because they've lost purpose or don't have one. The result for John Kitten in his life was that they came to a place with a sense of purpose. This is what he said. "We don't believe that we've been given all we've been given just to enjoy a comfortable life. Many people are driven by the desire to create an easier life. John Kitna is driven by the desire to create a meaningful life for himself and for his students and whoever else his life would touch. Here's what I know. As you pursue God and as you listen to his voice, he will capture your attention and ignite within you passion and faith and vision that is just beyond your own reach. That you will be inspired to hold yourself to a higher standard, and you will be challenged to rely every day on his power. This is what I believe John 10:10 is all about when Jesus says, I've come to give you life and to the full. This is living life to the full. God's purpose for your life begins today, right where you are, looking for opportunities to do good and surrendering yourself to his power for his glory. For after all, you are called on purpose for a purpose. Father, we come before you this evening and we are so thankful for your word. Thankful, Lord, that the word of God is important in this church. Where would we be without it? Living in a time where it could be said, not even arguably, in my opinion, that we are living in a time of famine for God's word. And so, Lord, I pray that we would have a hunger for your word like never before. But not only, Lord, to hear it, but God, to receive it into our hearts and then to live it, to obey it with every ounce of strength that is within us and that which you give us. That, Lord, we would indeed be people of purpose, people who are living up to the call that you have put upon our lives, all for your glory. All for your kingdom, Lord. And finding that which, Lord, you've caused to catch our attention. That which has captured our hearts would indeed be the case. That faith and vision would be ignited as we step out and live from that place. And find the joy. Oh, the joy. And life to the full, living as you have called us to live. And I ask this and I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado.